the anointing that God has placed upon him. Would you stand to your feet and give God glory and honor as our associate pastor, Pastor David, comes.
Woo! Give God some praise, somebody. Oh, Jesus. Woo! People are wondering, why do you get so excited like that? Because some of us were in the streets at one point. Some of us that are standing right before you were addicted to drugs at some point in our life. Some of us were almost killed by COVID at some point in our lives. But what you got to know this morning is that the devil did not win. The devil did not win. There were some of us who went through some struggles, but the devil did not win. When he attacked my body, the devil did not win. When he attacked Miss Brandon with COVID, the devil did not win. When we were on the streets addicted to drugs, the devil did not win. I need somebody to give God praise this morning, because the devil did not win. He did not win in your family. He's not gonna win in your finances. He's not gonna win in your family. He's not gonna win in your children. He's not gonna win in this city. He's not gonna win in this community. I need somebody to give God a praise this morning. Because the devil did not win. The devil did not win. He did not win. As I was praying and getting ready for this message, the Lord told me to tell you this morning, the devil's not gonna win. He's not gonna win. All you watching online, the devil's not gonna win. I don't care what you've been facing. I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care what valley you've been going through. The devil is not going to win. There has never been a time in Scripture when the devil has ever won. But if you look to the bottom and the back of the book, we see that there is victory in your future. And the Lord wants me to declare this morning, there is victory for your family. There is victory in your body. There is victory for your mind. So please excuse me while I get excited for a moment. Excuse me while we shout for a moment. Please excuse me while we dance for a moment. Please excuse me while we give God praise for a moment. Because the devil is not going to win. The devil's not going to win. The devil's not going to win. You see, a lot of times, we put more value on football. We put more value on our jobs. We put more value on our careers. But I've come to put some value on your soul this morning. And I want you to know that your soul was so valuable to God. Your soul, your life was so valuable to Jesus that he had to intervene into some dark places of your life when you were abused and when you were beaten, when the devil was coming at you with rape and sexual attraction of the wrong thing. You gotta know that Jesus stepped in. Jesus stepped in, and he's stepping in this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what pain you're going through. I don't know what trial you're going through. I don't know what you're going through online, but I come against every attack of the adversary in Jesus' name, and I declare and decree the devil will not win, because Jesus is stepping in. Jesus is stepping in, because the Spirit of God is still alive today. Pentecost is still alive today. The Holy Spirit is still alive today. You see, saints of God, we have to understand that the pendulum of religion is beginning to swing back to the pendulum of Pentecost. For too long, for the past 20 years, we've been stuck in routine. We've been stuck in programs. We've been stuck in how we're going to do it and how we're going to make the lights the fanciest it could be. And let me tell you, I like lights and I like things like that. But in the end, the pendulum is swinging back to Pentecost. The pendulum is swinging back to Holy Ghost. Now, for some of you online, you may be thinking this morning that died with the apostles in the book of Acts. Well, if you're telling me that the Spirit of God died, then what are we here for? If the Spirit of God died in the book of Acts, what are we doing church for? Because if there's no Spirit, I might as well take off my jacket and go home. I might as well lay down my prayers and go home, because I need the power of God. I need the Spirit of God. And this church is going to be encompassed. It's going to be in surrounded by the Spirit of God. We refuse to back up now. We refuse to throw in the towel now. But we are saying to this generation, we are going forth in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of love, in the Spirit of compassion. It's time for the remnant to arrive. rise. It's time for the remnant to arise above routine. It's time for the remnant to arise above religion. Oh, Jesus, I feel the Lord. I'm hyped because the devil did not win. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, but he is not going to win. He's not going to win. No matter what it looks like, the devil's not going to win. I'm coming to tell you this morning, no matter what it looks like in your body, the devil is not going to win. No matter what it looks like in your family, the devil is not going to win. You see, I've got some friends that I grew up in church with, and the devil's got a hold of them. But I've come to declare this morning, the devil is not going to win. There is going to be a reaping. There's going to be a harvest. And I've come to declare, saints of God, there is going to be a revival in this church. There's going to be a revival in this city. If it's the last thing we do, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have the move of the Spirit. Because we are tired of pancake church. We're tired of the donut Jesus. We've come to declare the truth. We've come to declare the gospel. And devil, get your hands off my family. Devil, get your hands off my friends. Devil, get your hands off my promise. The devil's not going to win. I said to declare this morning, the devil's not going to win. You may be seated. If I ignite you a flame this morning, then good, you need to be ignited a flame. You see, saints of God, the title of my message this morning is it's time to harvest. It's time to harvest. It's time to harvest. You see, there is a sense of urgency arising in this generation. I'm beginning to hear from a lot of youth, a lot of young people who do not want the fake church anymore. And they are trying to find hope, they're trying to find truth, and they're trying to find the answers. And the problem is that the church has hidden the answers. You see, because the answer is in the power of the Holy Spirit. I would have thought I got more amens than that. The answer is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And even though we may not understand the wildness and craziness, you got to know that we are called to do more than this earth. We're not called to be blended in this earth. We're called to be what? The salt of the earth. And so what's crazy about this is that there is a sense of urgency in the church now. We just came back from Tip City, Ohio, where there was 1,000 people packed wall to wall outside in 80-degree muggy weather, sweating your caps off, sweating your jacket off. And there was about 150 youth down at the altar praising, jumping, shouting, and giving God everything they had, speaking in tongues, because they wanted more of God. There was adults, there was old people, there was young people, all giving God praise. We just came back from Dominion Camp Meeting where there was 4,000 people, all giving God praise, all speaking in tongues, all giving God a shout because they want the realness of God. Sense of God, you've got to know that in this church, there is a sense of urgency. In this church, we are opening up the top of the roof. We're going to be like those friends that said, no matter what I got to do to get to Jesus, if I've got to tear down the roof, I'm going to tear down the roof because I've got to get to the power of Jesus. I don't want the mamby-pamby Jesus, but I want the power gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we are those saints of God who are sold out, so we cannot be bought out. If you go to a vending machine and you put your money in and click a button and it says sold out, it will give you money back. For too long, as Christians, we've been able to be bought out by the things of this world. But God is calling a generation who are so sold out, you cannot buy me out. A relationship cannot buy out my relationship with God. The career cannot buy out my prayer time with God. That blessing cannot buy out my worship time with God. The things of culture cannot buy out my spiritual relationship with God. Because we are people who are sold out, and we will not be bought out. Someone say it's time to harvest. You see, we are those who are expecting because we know God is not dead. We are those who will not back down from the enemy, and we will not shut our mouths. We will speak the truth in love. You see, the church is standing on the ready with compassion and love. This church is not limited to these four walls. This church is ready to take back everything that the devil ever stole from us and more. Some of you right now, the devil is attacking your life. He's attacking your mind. You've been going through the thing. Not the thing, the thing. You've been going through the thing this week. But I've come to declare you this morning that it's time to harvest. It's not time to whine. It's not time to be defeated. It's not time to sit on the sideline. It's not time to take your shoes off. But now more than ever, you got to gird up your strength. You got to gird up in your faith. Put your shoes on. Put your breastplate of righteousness on. Take up the shield of faith. Take out your sword of the Spirit. Put on the helmet of salvation. It's time to rise up because there's a remnant arising in the name of Jesus. You see, saints of God, we're going to take our culture back. We're going to take our kids back. We're going to take our schools back. We're going to take our houses back. Because we are the remnant arising. And we see we don't arise in hate. We don't arise in violence. But we arise in love. We arise in compassion. And we arise in joy. This is not something that I would ever shove down anybody's throat. But all I got to do is testify for a moment. Testify of the time when I was 19 years old, 20 years old. I was rebelling against God. I was backslidden because you can't backslide. And I was backslidden in a dark place. I was not nowhere near God. But even though I was not nowhere near God, God still reached down his hand and grabbed for me. And if it wasn't for God reaching down for me, I would not be where I am today. God is calling this church to rise up in compassion. We are a remnant arising in compassion, in love, and in testimony. And when you testify, you are sowing seeds of grace. You're sowing seeds of mercy because God is still a merciful God. God is still a gracious God. God is still a loving God who will reach down to you when you find yourself in a dark place. He will reach to you and step in when the devil thought he had you. Whew. Man, one of these Sundays, we're just going to have everybody come up and testify where God brought them from. You see, we don't bring up the past to spark offense or spark gossip, but we bring up the past to let you know how much work God did. How much work God did. How much work God did. Because if it wasn't for God, some of us would be on the street shooting people right now. If it wasn't for God, some of you would be in your bedroom smoking a blunt right now. If it wasn't for God, you'd be shooting up right now. But because of God, because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of his love, because of his delivering power of the Holy Spirit, because we got in a church like this, because we got plugged into Holy Ghost, because we got plugged into Pentecost, he saved me from a dark place. He saved you from a dark place, and his delivering power is still on the move. His healing power is still on the move. His resurrection power is still on the move. Woo, Jesus. It's time to harvest. It's time to harvest. We are those in this church who will not conform, but we will be a part of the transformation to this city. We are those who will not be caught up in offense and hurt, but we will be consumed in faith and in love. It's time, saints of God. You see, when you are a remnant arising, you rise above hate. You rise above offense. You rise above the pettiness, hurtfulness. You rise above it, and you rise up in your faith, and you rise up in your love. There are too many souls for us to sit in here and be offended. There are too many souls to sit in here and pick on somebody's hair and pick on somebody's jacket. There are too many souls to stay home and just sit there when nothing's going on with you. Now, if you're sick, we pray for healing, but now is the time. We come into this church and we get plugged in because it's time to harvest. Someone say it's time to get to work. Yeah. Let's look at this first scripture this morning. John 4, 31 through 36. Who believes in Jesus in here? Raise your hand. Who believes in Jesus? Say amen. All right. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe his words. All right. Well, we're going to give you the words of Jesus. Here we go. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. And the disciples said, did someone bring him food while we were gone? Is Jesus hiding bread in his tunic? Is Jesus hiding bread underneath his sandals? And so they're asking each other, who brought Jesus food while we were gone? Verse 34, then Jesus explained, my nourishment, what fills me, what feeds me, what makes me whole, what makes me full, comes from what? Doing the will of God. Okay, I'm just going to let Jesus speak to you for a moment. He said here, who sent me? And from finishing his work, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. I feel you, Lord. Verse 36, the harvesters are paid good wages, And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. And look what Jesus says. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You see, you have to understand from this passage that earlier in this passage, it actually describes, the Bible tells us, that Jesus was weary. Jesus was tired from a long walk, and he went and sat by the well, and he talked to the Samaritan woman, and I'm going to preach about that later on. But Jesus sat by the well. He was actually weary. And what happened was the disciples came back, and the disciples remained flesh-focused. They said, Rabbi, you need to eat something. And Jesus said, I'm spirit-focused. I have food you know nothing about. The disciples remained flesh-focused and said, is someone hiding bread over here? The first key to reaping the harvest is that you have to be spirit-focused and not flesh-focused. Jesus had to bring the disciples into a spiritual understanding that if you're about to reap the harvest, it's not about what you're eating physically. It's not about what you're partaking physically. But what nourishes me is what is of the spirit. You see, this generation has been so churched out of the spirit that it's all about what you can partake of physically, what you can partake of fleshly. But Jesus is calling back his church back to the spirit. It's time to be nourished by the spirit. Look at this. Look at verse 34. Jesus says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. Saints of God, now is not the time to be malnourished. How many knows when you're malnourished in a physical sense of being, you haven't eaten good food, or you're just eating donuts all the time, or you're just eating Oreos all the time. Yeah. Lord, deliver me, amen. And you become malnourished because you are partaking of something that tastes good to you, but it doesn't fulfill it you when it goes down in you. So Jesus says, when we're talking about nourishment, what fills me up, what really feeds me, what really strengthens me, what really undergirds me, what really takes me and propels me forward is doing the will of God. I want you to notice that. I want you to remember that from this message this morning. From doing what? The will of God. To reap the harvest of this world, we have got to be encompassed. We have got to be surrounded by the will of God. We've got to be invested in the will of God. We have got to know that it's the will of God that nourishes me. It's not Netflix that nourishes me. It's not a relationship that nourishes me. It's not going out on Friday night and partying that nourishes me. It's not the things and money of the world that nourishes me. But it is the things of God that nourish me. We have got so many Christians who are right now malnourished because we have been focused on the will of flesh instead of the will of God. But I've come to declare to this church, we are going to be focused on the will of God. And when you are focused on the will of God, there are some things you have to sacrifice. There are some things you have to lay to the side. There are some things that you can't focus on all the time. You can't give your effort to all the time. And you see, a lot of Christians are asking, Pastor David, I come to church. It is powerful. But why do I always feel empty? Why do I always feel unfulfilled? Because your nourishment has been mainly focused upon the flesh. And that's why we've got to be a people who rise up and let the devil know, my nourishment comes from the Spirit. To God. My nourishment comes from the presence of God. My nourishment comes from the will of God. My nourishment comes from worshiping God, from praising God, from reading His Word. My nourishment comes from Him. Do I have anybody in here who's spirit focused? Do I have anybody in here who's spirit focused? Do I have a remnant in here who is spirit focused? Or are we going to sit by the wayside? Because church, listen. If I wanted to, I could have studied for 20 minutes. I'd give you a little verse and say, have a good day. But that's not what we're about. That's not what we're about. Because Jesus goes on to say, look at this. He says, wake up. Look at the next verse here. Wake up. Wake up. Look at the next verse here. But I say, wake up, verse 35. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. Wake up. Wake up means take a different position. When you're sleeping, you are fully laid out on bed. Some of y'all got your arms up like this. Some of you are twisted sideways. Some of you got your feet hanging off the bed. Some of us are Patrick Starr. You could just all out on the bed yourself. Some of us sleep like mummies. I'm a mummy sleeper myself. I just sleep like this. I just sleep like a mummy. But when Jesus says, wake up, how many knows when you wake up from bed, when you woke up from bed this morning, you didn't stay just like you were. You didn't come into church like this. I didn't come into church like a zombie this morning. When Jesus says it's time to wake up, it means you've got to take a different position. So Jesus is telling us, wake up and look around. Wake up, church, look around. Wake up, church, look around. The field is already ripe for harvest. What people have been telling us, you got to keep waiting on God. You got to keep waiting on Him. He's saying the field's already ripe for harvest. When people have been telling us revival's soon to come, no, revival's now. The field is already ripe to be harvest. So now it's time to wake up, saints of God. It's time to take a different position, saints of God. It's time to increase our prayer, saints of God. It's time to rise up and increase our worship, saints of God. I wish I had a witness in this place who's ready to rise up, who's ready to pray more, who's ready to worship more, who's ready to seek God more. Someone give God a praise this morning. Jesus is telling us to wake up. Stop waiting. The church has made the mistake of seeing the fields ripe for harvest and not going out and doing what Jesus called us to do. So then the enemy comes in and steals the harvest. But Jesus said, now is not the time to wait. He said, wake up. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. If anyone's asleep, just push them and say, wake up. Amen. The fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. In your life, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Pastor David, why do you keep saying it? Because I need you to receive it in faith that when you go out this week, that you ain't going out to a dead field. You ain't going out to an empty field, but you're going out to a field that is ready to harvest. In your career life, the field's already ripe to be harvested. In the schools, the field's already ripe to be harvested. In the social media and in the business expenditures, the fields are already ripe to be harvested. I'm looking for a church that's going to rise up this morning and say, my fields of favor, my fields of healing, my fields of salvation are already ripe for harvest. Someone give God praise because you know the fields are already ripe for harvest. Jesus, mighty God. Jesus, mighty God. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Now is not the time to let doubt seep in. Now is not the time to let the devil speak to you and say your field will always remain dead in your life. But now is the time, saints of God, to rise up in faith and smash the voices of doubt, smash the seeds of doubt, smash the things of the past, and rise up and say, my fields are ripe for harvest. Next time you see your family, my fields are already ripe for harvest. Next time I see my friend who's backslidden, the fields are already ripe for harvest. You see, the church has been in the waiting season long enough. The church has been in the waiting season long enough. This church has been in the waiting season long enough. And I wish you would have been with us in Ohio because it was a pivotal moment. It was a turning point moment. And that turning point spirit that was there in that camp meeting is right now here in this church. And we are not going to remain the same. We are not going to sit down and be quiet. We are not going to be casual Christians. We are not going to become casualties. But there's going to be a remnant rising in this church because your time is now. Your time is now. Your time of favor is now. Your time of blessing is now. Your time of healing is now. Your time of deliverance is now. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up. This is what we call prophetic preaching. Because where this church is going, you have to have prophetic vision, prophetic word to go there. The fields are already ripe for harvest. So you have to wake up. And then Jesus says, look around. You see, for too long, the church has been caught looking at our own feet. The church has been caught up in denominational wars. The church has been caught up in routine. The church has been caught up in programs. The church has been caught up in lights and fanciness. But now is the time that Jesus says it's time to wake up and look around to all those out there who need the answer. And the answer is the Holy Ghost. The answer is the Spirit of God. The answer is the Word of God. The answer is our Savior, and His name is Jesus. It's time to look up and look around. Stop being distracted. I don't care if you're Catholic, Methodist, Kojic, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran. I don't care what denomination you are. It's time for the church to come together in unity. It's time for the church to come together. Stop arguing about biblical things and come together and say, there are too many souls out there for me to sit here and stare at my feet and tell you, get away from me. No, but we're coming together in unity, and we're going to go reap the harvest. Wake up and look around. All you watch online, it's time to wake up and look around. Look around your job. Look around Walmart when you go shop. It's time to wake up and look around. Woo. See, you saints of God, we've got to be spirit focused and not flesh focused. You got to find out what fills you up the most. And what fills you up the most is actually going to be the nourishment of the will of God. We've got to be able to seek the will of God in our lives. Not just on Sunday morning, but every single day. A pastor told me, just last week, he said, you have to water the seed more than the enemy waters your seed. You have to water the seed more than the enemy waters your seed. Because if too many times we get so caught up in life, we get so caught up in routine, and the enemy begins to water your seed, he'll begin to water your seed with poison. He'll begin to water your seed with doubt. He'll begin to water your seed with the things of this life. And that's why Christians remain the same. Christians remain at the same baby level as they've always been for 30 years, because you have got to water your seed. You have got to wake up and look around and continue to water the seed, plant it every day, and go reap, bring it in, plant more seed, go reap, bring it in. It's time to look around. You got to know, saints of God, now's not the time to be malnourished. See, but now, saints of God, it's time to take up our spiritual meal plan and dive in. Anybody ever went on a diet before and it was a whole meal plan? Someone said no. I did. No, people did. I went on a meal plan one time where I couldn't eat no sugar. I couldn't eat red meat. I couldn't eat bread. Couldn't have no butter, couldn't have nothing like that. It was just pure protein. It was pure veggies, pure vegetable goodness. Amen. You see, for me to accomplish the results of that meal plan, I had to dive in. There was no, okay, I'll start and I'll reward myself now. No, there was a full 100% dedication to that meal plan. There was an unwavering, you can't pull me from this meal plan kind of dedication. There ain't nothing in front of me going to tempt me. If you would have brought cake out during that meal plan, I would have said, no, thank you. I've got to stick to the meal plan. That, you know, no matter what was brought in front of me, you see, we had church dinner while I was on the meal plan. And y'all know, in this church, we know how to cook the fried chicken. And we know how to cook the collard greens. And we know how to make the rolls, the honey biscuit rolls. And they presented in front of me. And I said, I will take chicken and green beans. Amen. And I'll go home and suffer by myself. There was an unwavering dedication. There was an unwavering dedication. You couldn't have shaken me from that meal plan. You couldn't have shaken me, because I was telling myself, until I lose the weight, I will not break from this meal plan. And God's calling a remnant to arise that says, I will not break from this spiritual meal plan. I will not break from fasting. I will not break from my prayer life. I will not break from worship until I see souls coming to these altars getting saved, healed, and delivered. Now is not the time to break. Now is not the time to conform. Now is not the time to throw in the towel. But now is the time to rise up and have an unwavering dedication. Have an unwavering expectancy. The remnant are rising, and your expectancy's gonna rise. Your expectancy's gonna rise. Oh, Jesus. Now we're going real Pentecost. It don't matter how you gonna praise Him, do what you gonna do. If you gotta clap your hands, clap your hands. If you gotta sing for joy, sing for joy. Because nothing's taking my expectancy. Nothing's taking my praise. Nothing's taking my worship. Nothing's taking my prayer life. We have got to see souls saved. We got to see this church filled to overflowing. Nothing's going to make me waver now. You see, when the friends brought their friend up to the top of the roof, nothing could have stopped them from opening and tearing down the roof. They, because you know why? Because they had expectancy. If you come into church without expectancy, you will never get anything from church. If you come into church just expecting me to do everything for you, you'll get nothing from church. If you come into church expecting the praise team to just really just shoot an injection of spirit in you, you will get nothing from church. But now, saints of God, there is a remnant arising in this church, in this city, who will come to church with expectancy, with a kind of mindset, with a kind of a spiritual set that says, I am ready, I'm shaking in my bones, I'm speaking in tongues. The kind of expectancy that wakes you up at 4 a.m. like it did me this morning. I couldn't sleep. I had to get up at 4 a.m. I had to go to my recliner. And even when the cat jumped on me, I was still speaking in tongues because I had a sense of expectancy. Saints of God, you've got to have expectancy. You cannot have a dead spirit. You cannot have a dead expectancy, because if it's dead, you will never receive anything. But now is the time, saints of God, to rise up with expectancy. I'm prophetically preaching this morning, because you have to see with expectancy. When we go and canvas homes tonight, you've got to see with expectancy. For you who didn't know, we're not having service tonight, because we're going to go out in the neighborhoods and we're going to hang these on people's doors. We're going to let them know about the back to school event. And we've done over 1,000 of these door hangers. 1,368 door hangers. Now, some of you just said, Pastor David, that's a lot of work. But if Netflix is more important to you than a soul being saved, you need to repent in Jesus' name. If propping your feet up is more important than a soul being saved, you need to repent in Jesus' name. If going to the lake is more important than seeing a soul saved, you need to repent in Jesus' name. That's why in this church, we are going to go out there and canvas with expectancy. When we hang those things on their doors, we're going to know that on August 14th, this church is going to be filled with people who need the Spirit of God, who need the love of God, who need the compassion of God, who need the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to see an expectancy. In this church, we're going to have expectancy in Jesus' name. Someone say, wake up. You saints of God, we've got to be so invested in the will of God that the flesh has no pull on you. We've got to be so invested in the will of God that the flesh has no pull on you. Lifting up your eyes means stop being focused on just your little surroundings around you. It's time to see the bigger picture. Jesus said, wake up and look around. The disciples, all they could see was what bread the rabbi hadn't eaten yet. But Jesus said, wake up. There's something more important than that. It's the fields that are ripe for harvest. And Jesus goes on to say, the fruit they harvest is what? People brought to eternal life. Saints of God, God put us on a mission in this season to go, go, go. And this event is not just the end of us going out to the community. We're going to have another evangelist come, and we're going to go out in the community again. And then we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again and again. And then we're going to do it again so much that the mobile home park down here that's full of meth, that's full of perversion, that's full of prostitution, starts to change in Jesus' name. Because there's a remnant arising. Saints of God, you've got to see the bigger picture. You've got to see that we have the answer for those people out there. And we have to show them the answer. Let's go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Are you guys getting this message this morning? Jesus traveled through all towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Not just about church routine. He was announcing the good news about the kingdom. You see, this is a kingdom thing, not a church thing. See, the church was not destined to be just contained to four walls only and be a social club. We were destined to expand God's kingdom. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. And did you know that that same spirit on Jesus, he gave us authority to do the same thing? That's right. That's why you got to be prayed up, saints of God. You got to be prayed up, saints of God. You got to be spending time in the spirit. You got to spend time. And watch this. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Now, if you look at the word compassion in the Greek, it actually means a deep yearning within your bowels. It stands for, it leads to the Greek word for spleen. that Jesus had such great compassion. It was such a deep yearning within his bowels that Jesus said, they are so confused. They are so helpless. They are needing the answer. And he had so much compassion that it churned within him to his deepest, innermost part of his being. You see, a key to being the workers of the harvest is that we must have compassion on all those people out there. We must have compassion on them. Because a lot of times, saints of God, you see in the King James, it says, not confused, but they became weary. A lot of times they became so weary, then it says that they fainted. And because they've weary and fainted, they became confused. You have to understand what Jesus was talking about here when he saw the crowd. We are still seeing that today. We're seeing that in this neighborhood today. People out there are confused. They're helpless. We have people call us this week asking for prayer because they are helpless. They're hopeless. They have no hope left in them. And Jesus says, I felt compassion towards them. Like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. I'm going to say that one more time so it hit your spirit. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. When I read that, it convicted me. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Church, we're not going to be the few or the majority that stays in the church any longer. If Jesus wants us to be the few workers, we're going to go out and we're going to be those few workers. Because that's what Jesus called this church to be. When every other church may not want to do it, we're going to start it right here. We're going to spark it right here. We're going to spark it, and we're going to spark it tonight. You're going to come back tonight at 5:30 in your shorts and your sneakers. And in your church t-shirt. And we're going to hand all these out to our community. Because Jesus told me, the workers are few. Now what are you going to do about that to change it? What are you going to do, Eagle Heights? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it, Eagle Heights? All you watching online, what are you going to do about it? It got real quiet because it's convicting, isn't it? See, I'm shifting the service because in a moment we're going to pray over these flyers. Because we got the Spirit of God in this house. All these people need the Spirit of God. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Their shepherd is meth. Their shepherd is prostitution. Their shepherd is homosexuality. Their shepherd is addiction. If I have to go out and give them all my money, I'll give them all my money. If I have to give them my last suit jacket, I'll give them my last suit jacket. If I have to give them all my shoes, I'll give them all my shoes. Because woe be the church if we sit here and shout. If we sit here and get pumped up, but we don't reach nobody whose shepherd is meth and cocaine. Whose shepherd is threesomes every single night. Who are sexually bonded and chained. Woe be to the church who sits in the great four walls but doesn't reach a community who's bound by the shepherd of the devil. Woe be to all the churches who have all the money but don't want to go into their community. Woe be to the churches who have the biggest TV programs but don't care about the drug addict underneath the bridge, who don't care about the one shooting up cocaine right now as we speak. Woe be to all the churches who refuse to rise up because it doesn't fit into their denominational routine. And woe be to us, Eagle Heights, if we sit here and we don't care about them anymore. Jesus said the workers are few. No longer. No longer in this church. No longer in this church. No longer in this church. And Jesus said, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. As we go out, some of them will hate me. Some of them will hate you too. But Jesus said, it's just like the dust off your feet. Now is the time to reach out with compassion and love. Because you see every empty seat in here? That's for someone out there who's shooting up right now. It's not for church folk. It's for someone out there right now who is in a mobile home park right down the street and saying, "If God, if you're real, send someone to speak to me. God, if you're real, I don't know how I'm going to pay for groceries this week." Now is the time to rise up, saints of God. Now is the time for the sense of urgency. Now is the time to have compassion and sympathy for those people. Now is the time to testify to them and say, "Listen, I know you may be in a dire place, but it doesn't have to stay that way. It don't have to remain that way. All of you watching online, it don't have to stay that way. It don't have to remain that way." That's why we have got to be spirit-focused and not flesh-focused. When we're so caught up in pettiness and so caught up in what she said about me and how she texted me this and how they defer to me, when the church gets so caught up in that, there are no souls being reaped from the harvest. Jesus says, "The field is ripe for harvest." Will you let the devil steal it? Or will you rise up? I ask everyone to stand on their feet this morning. Saints of God, you have to understand, we have the answer. We have the answer to that meth addiction. We have the answer to those bondages. We have the answer to what they are going through, because some of you know that answer for yourself. But Jesus, I feel you, Lord. Because then Jesus says in verse 38, "So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. So here in a moment, you're going to pray. Every single body, I want every single person to come up to these altars. We are going to pray over these flyers. And I don't want you to just see a piece of paper. I don't want you to just see the fruit snacks in the flyer. I don't want you to see that. But when you come up here and pray over these flyers, I want you to see the meth person who's shooting up right now. I want you to see the person who is bondaged right now. I want you to see those, the young youth, are being abused every single day. The young youth who don't have any toys but a cardboard box. I want you to see their souls hanging in the balance, saints of God. Because now is the time that we rise up. Now is the time that we pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send his workers into the field. And as you pray, I want you to pray out of the spirit, not out of the flesh, because there is too much hanging in the balance for us to be churchy. There is too much hanging in the balance for us to be stuck in the routine again and again. So as the praise team sings, I want everybody to come to the front. Everybody come to these altars and begin to pray over these flyers. 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 Like souls hanging in the balance. Pray in the spirit. Come on. How about, do you want to see the soul saved?
I just want to speak the name.
We speak the name of Jesus to these people.
Every dark addiction starts to break.
Every dark addiction has to break.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
We speak Jesus to these people. We speak Jesus to these families. We speak Jesus to their households. Because his name is power. His name is the answer. Come on, pray from your spirit. Pray for these people. Pray for these people we're going to reach. Pray for these people we're going to reach. Out of your spirit, pray.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn on.
Come on, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Pray for the person who's shooting up right now.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus over those flyers. Speak the name of Jesus over those flyers. Lord, on every flyer, God. On every door hanger, God. People would see it, Father. They would see to be attracted to it in the name of Jesus. They would know there's hope in the name of Jesus. They would know there's hope in the name of Jesus. Come on. God, for all those ladies who are in sexual perversion right now, who are in sexual chains right now, who are in abusive relationships right now, pray for them, pray for them. Come on, men of God, pray for those men who are running from God. My city.
Jesus for my city. I sing the holy name.
Sing that again, sing that again.
Jesus.
Pray over those fires. We speak provision over these people in the name of Jesus.
Jesus for my city, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Everyone point your hands toward the flyers. If you can't reach them, point your hands. You've got to see in the spiritual realm. This is not just a piece of paper. This is not just a fruit snack and an oatmeal. Well, this is something more. This is us going and reaping the harvest. The fields are ripe, and this is the start of the harvest right here. This is the start of the harvest right here. Father God, we pray over these flyers in the mighty name of Jesus. That every person as they sit on their door, they would not throw it away, God, but the Spirit of God would pull on them as they open up the bag, as they eat the fruit snacks, God, as they read the flyer, it would pull on them in the name of Jesus. God, we declare and decree, Father, greater response than ever before. Families upon families upon families upon families upon families coming to this church in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, that they will begin to have hope again. They'll begin to have faith again. They'll begin to believe in your name again, God. They'll begin to believe again and again and again. Father, we pray for these fires in the name of Jesus. We speak, Lord, that the seed will be planted and it's going to come to harvest in Jesus' name. The harvest is here in Jesus' name. Sing it one more time, praise team, one more time. Shout Jesus, shout Jesus, shout Jesus, shout Jesus. In the streets.
Jesus in the darkness.
And Jesus for my city.
Jesus for my city.
I speak the holy name of Jesus. This isn't about us anymore. This isn't about being churchy anymore. This isn't about the fanciest lights anymore. This isn't about that anymore. It's about these souls who need Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
We want to speak the name of Jesus.
Over fear and all anxiety.
Over fear and all anxiety. Starts to break. Sing it. Here we go. Declaring there's hope.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
I speak Jesus.
I speak Jesus.
I speak Jesus.
I speak Jesus.
Jesus to these families.
Hold up a close. I speak
Jesus. Jesus to the drug addicted. Our hands. Everyone in this place, lift up your hands. If you're watching online from home, lift up your hands. The scripture says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send the workers. Father, we pray right now. You send us as your workers. Eagle Heights Church is your workers, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, you send us as your workers. And as we go, we will not be fearful. We come against every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We come against fear in the name of Jesus. We will not be fearful in spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We will not be fearful in handing these out to people. We will not be fearful, but God, we declare and decree over these workers, we will go and look and reap the harvest, for the time to reap the harvest is right now. So Father, we give you a praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you thanks, because now is our time to go and reap the harvest. No more will this city be hopeless. No more will they be hopeless. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's only 1 o'clock. Go get you something to eat. Go take a small 30-minute nap. Put your shorts on. Put your sneakers on. Get a church t-shirt. Get your Remnant Arising t-shirt. Because that's what I'm wearing tonight. Get your Remnant Arising t-shirt. We're to come back tonight at 5:30. We're going to get into teams. We're going to get our strategy, get our maps down. We're going to pray. And then we're going to go and hand all these out. Because on August 14th, this is what this advertising, it's our back to school event. On August 14th, we've partnered with Convoy of Hope. We partner with Wendy's. We partner with Crosslines. We partner with Sam's Club. We've partnered with everybody in the business. We Fast and Friendly. We partner with them because here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away clothes, supercuts. We're going to give free haircuts. We're going to give away. We got 8 pallets of groceries coming from Convoy Hope next week from a diesel truck. So to get those people here, we're going to invite them. We're going to canvass the neighborhoods. And guess what? If we have left over on that Sunday night of August 14th, we're going to go back out in the neighborhoods. We're going to give everybody free school supplies, give them free backpacks. We're going to give them free food. Because, thanks to God, this is no longer about us. This is no longer about me feeling good. This is about getting souls saved, healed, and delivered, and expanding the kingdom of God.